In which book do we read the story of the Valley of the Dry Bones? Ezekiel. Had an Ezekiel down here somewhere. Well done, Ezekiel. Okay, here's a good question. It's one book of the Bible, one of those 66 books. In one of them, the word God does not appear at all. Do you know which book? Yes, brilliant. Well done, top of the class. Esther. God is implied all the way through the book, but is never mentioned by name in the book of Esther. You have to go home and read it now, won't you? Okay, the New Testament was originally written in which language? The New Testament, written in Greek. Yeah, well done, Greek. A little bit tentative there. Okay, who knows who wrote the book of Acts? Luke, brilliant. There you go. I'm thinking Joy obviously will know all of these because she's trained, so she's... we won't pick on Joy. On which mountain did Moses first receive the Ten Commandments? Mount Sinai, yeah, well done. Okay, I think a lot of you might know this one. Who wore clothes made of camel's hair and ate locusts and wild honey? John the Baptist. We all know about him, don't we? this is a question, you may not know this one, but it's a good question. There's somebody in the book of Acts who is described as a seller of purple cloth. Does anybody know? Oh, well done, Lydia, brilliant. Yes, Lydia, who financially supported the early church. Okay, this is a bit of a trick question, so just think about it. Which bird did Noah first release from the ark? No, a raven, well done. The raven never came back. Okay, this one's an easy one. Who lived in a fish for 3 days? Jonah, well done. I've got three more. You're nearly there. On which island was St. Paul shipwrecked? Malta. Was Malta? I heard Malta, I think. Yes, Malta. Okay, two more. Who replaced Judas Iscariot as an apostle? I think I heard Matthias down here. Matthias, well done. Last question for now. Haha. Who was the first Christian martyr? Stephen, brilliant. Excellent. See, between you, which is the whole point because you're a church community, between you, you know it all. It's great. So today is Bible Sunday, which was just an excuse, really, to have a bit of a quiz. But it's also the day on which we commemorate not Stephen, but two other martyrs, two people who are featured in the Bible, two of Jesus' original 12 disciples. And if you've read your notice sheet, you'll have seen their names. It's St. Simon and St. Jude. We remember them today. But if I'd asked you any questions in that little quiz about Simon and Jude, that would have been really very mean of me, because basically we don't know anything about them at all. And in fact, what I've just told you, that they were martyrs, that they're in the Bible, and they were two of Jesus' 12 disciples, is almost all that we do know. But that's not going to stop me telling you a bit more. Kind of just making it up, really. No, that's not quite true. But we'll start with Simon. In the Gospels, you get those lists of the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. Each of the Gospel writers produces a list. And in St. Matthew, I'll just read you one of them. St. Matthew says, these are the names of the 12 apostles. First Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So that's the list of the 12 from St. Matthew's Gospel. Now today we're not thinking about Simon, who's known as Peter. He's got his own day back in June. We've had him. Today we're thinking of the Simon that Matthew says is called Simon the Zealot. And Mark and Luke also call him Simon the Zealot. There is no other mention of this Simon in the Bible at all, other than in those lists. But we are still going to come back to him in a minute and see what we do know. So what about Jude? They share today, Simon and Jude. Well, I don't know if you were listening or how well you were listening, but that list of the 12 disciples that I just read to you obviously included Judas Iscariot, but I didn't hear a Jude in that list anywhere, no. no Jude. And in St. Mark's Gospel, there's no Jude either. In St. Luke's Gospel, we don't get a Jude, but there is somebody called Judas, son of James, as well as Judas Iscariot. And obviously Judas can be shortened from Judas. So in Matthew and Mark, you don't get Jude or Judas, son of James, but you do in Luke. Meanwhile, in Matthew and Mark, there is some strange character called Thaddeus, and he's not in Luke's gospel. So if you do a bit of Bible detective work, it seems to be that Thaddeus and Judas, the son of James, are one and the same person. But who is this person? And does he appear anywhere else in the Bible? So let's have a quick look at both these characters. So Simon the Zealot, he's given that title probably because he belonged to a Jewish resistance movement who were opposing the Romans, who were occupying, obviously, the land. For those zealots, the messianic promise in the Old Testament meant that the Jews were to be a free and an independent nation, that God alone was king, and the payment of taxes to Rome, and in fact, the domination by Rome, was actually a blasphemy. And there's an ancient historian called Josephus, some of you may have heard of, and Josephus talked about the zealots in his book, and he said that this movement was a Jewish independence movement devoted to assassinations and violent insurrection. So they were a nice bunch. But that group of zealots didn't actually exist at the time of Jesus. They came into existence a few years later in about AD 50. So that probably wasn't the group that Simon belonged to. But there were many movements called zealot at the time, not quite the same, but all with the same purpose of opposing Rome. And by labelling Simon as the zealot, we might not know exactly which group he belonged to, but of course the very first readers of the gospel would have seen that title and known exactly what it meant for him to be called a zealot, that Simon was linked to these nationalist resistance movements. He was an activist against the Roman occupation. We can imagine him, you can imagine in a modern context, he might have been marching and placarding and lobbying and hopefully not too much violence, but he was obviously an activist in that resistance movement, and he was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. As I say, apart from those lists, there is no other record of Simon in the Bible, but there are lots of legends about him and what he did. One of the Eastern sources suggests that he went to Edessa in Mesopotamia. In the Western church, the tradition says that Simon went to Egypt and preached there, and then he joined Jude, and they both went east to Persia, and they were martyred in Persia, in Sufyan. It's quite gruesome, because in one story they said their throats were cut. In another, Simon was sawn in two. Not so nice. Now, those are obviously, those are traditions, that there's not a huge amount of proof for those, but they were supposedly together and martyred. There is another tradition that I don't think is true, but I'll just tell you because it's fun, is that Simon came as far as Britain and was martyred in Lincolnshire. Who knows? Probably not, but anyway. Simon is the patron saint of couriers, which I didn't know what that was, so I had to look it up. That's curers of leather. And given this myth or tradition that he was sawn in half, he's apparently the patron saint of sawmen and tanners. So that's Simon. What about this interesting character, Judas, the son of James, or Jude, or Thaddeus? Well, because of the name variations, it's a little bit more complicated. It's easy to imagine that the name Judas would get shortened to Jude, perhaps to distinguish this Judas from Judas Iscariot. And he is called Judas, son of James, which within the 12 disciples, we've got, for example, the two Jameses, haven't we, that are identified as James, the son of Zebedee, and James, the son of Alphaeus. So there are two Judases, Judas Iscariot and Judas, son of James, known as Jude. There might even be another Jude lurking around. There is a short epistle in the Bible that's named for Jude. It is Bible Sunday, so let me just check. Has anybody read the letter of Jude? Oh, yeah, there's a few yeses out there. There's some more homework for you. The good news is it's only one chapter long, so it won't take you very long to read it. And if you're trying to find it, it's just before the book of Revelation, the penultimate book in the Bible. And it's a very short letter written by Jude to the church. But no one knows if it's the same Jude, so it might be another Jude. So there you go, lots of Judes. The question is, where does this name Thaddeus fit in? Well, Some of you may be interested in this. It's only going to take me a few seconds to describe this, but some of you will switch off because it's so ridiculously complicated. But just for completion's sake, how on earth do we link Judas and Thaddeus? Well, Judas is a Greek form of the Hebrew name Judah. And many of you know that the name of Judah was a very important name in the Old Testament. It means praise. And any of you who are Hebrew scholars, it's a good job Phil's not here really, isn't it? Because he's done all his Hebrew. He'll probably check me up on this. But anyway, the Hebrew letters of the name Judah include all of the Hebrew letters that make up the name of God. So the name Judah is very significant, and it included the name of God within the name in Hebrew. So that's Judah, from which Judas is linked. Thaddeus, meanwhile, is it could be a Greek equivalent of Judas, because in the name Thaddeus, or its forms, includes the Greek word for God, which is theos. So you've got the Hebrew word for God in Judah, or Judas, and the Greek word for God in Thaddeus. I told you it was a bit complicated, so don't worry if you didn't follow that at all. But the truth is, no one actually knows the link between those two names and why this person has two names. But it is pretty clear they're one and the same person. One of Jesus' 12 disciples was known both as Judas and as Thaddeus, and we call him Jude. So there you go. Jude does appear once more in the Gospels, apart from in those lists. He's mentioned at the Last Supper in St. John's Gospel. But other than that, again, there's nothing known about Jude after the Bible. As I said, the traditions say and the stories say that he joined up with Simon to preach the gospel in Persia, and they were martyred there. This is something you may well know. St. Jude is the patron saint of lost causes, which I think is brilliant. I love that idea. If you're utterly desperate, then you might ask St. Jude to pray for you. What I love about it is the reason why he's the patron saint of lost causes, because the origin of that is that no one wanted to pray to Jude because his name was too similar to Judas Iscariot. So only after you'd tried every other possible avenue of prayer, before you gave up completely in utter desperation, you might turn to St. Jude. And so he was known as the saint of last resort. What a great title. And became the patron saint of lost causes. But I think something that's lovely. He's also the patron saint of hospitals and hospital workers. And today, the 28th of October, is the day when Simon and Jude are remembered in the church calendar, because in the 7th century, on this day, a church was dedicated to their memory, which supposedly holds their relics. So that's why it's today. So that's a little bit of history, which basically tells you we don't know anything. But it really made me think, because Phil asked me to sort of have this as a focus today, and I was sort of doing my little bit of homework and thought, you know, what do we make of this? And actually, I've been really encouraged and challenged by today, because Simon and Jude are part of Jesus' closest circle of friends and disciples. They are two of the original 12 that were with Jesus throughout the highs and the lows of his ministry. They were with him as he taught and healed, as he walked the land and performed miracles. They were with him as he gained support and when he was opposed. They were with him at the Last Supper. They were with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. They were eyewitnesses to his horrific death. They were also eyewitnesses to the resurrection. They met the risen Jesus. They had breakfast on the beach with Jesus in Galilee after the resurrection. They were there on that bewildering, amazing day when Jesus was taken up into heaven on Ascension Day. They were there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was spectacularly poured out on the disciples. Simon and Jude were two of the 12. They were there, but we know nothing, virtually nothing about them at all. And part of me thinks that's a little bit sad, because we know lots about some of the other disciples, like Peter, but about Simon and Jude, nothing's been recorded. So it's a little bit sad. But at the same time, as I thought about that, I thought that was actually quite encouraging, really. These two men, who, like all of the disciples, gave up everything to follow Jesus, these two who were key members of Jesus' original 12, who witnessed so much and apparently followed him for the rest of their lives, even to death, being martyred, there's nothing known about them. And what that tells me is that really they were just normal people. Just a bit like you and me, really. Like you and me, they were called by Jesus to follow him, to offer themselves, their lives, their skills to God and follow and see where God would take them, how he would use them. Perhaps he might use them in really big ways, but perhaps God used Simon and Jude's faithful service in little ways that didn't seem all that significant at the time and didn't warrant letters in the Bible and historical records. And it made me think that maybe we're a bit like Simon and Jude, faithfully following God, seeking to do our best as we serve him in all the little details of our lives, not doing the kind of things which mean that our lives will be recorded and remembered. Probably no books are going to be written about us or films made of our lives. But nevertheless, we are doing what we are called to do as disciples of Jesus, the focus being on Jesus, not on Simon and Jude or on me or any of you. We're faced with men who are really unknown, and we're struck by the fact that their holiness, the fact that they're saints, is because of God in their lives. And of course it's true, when we think back to that list of the 12 disciples, Jesus chose some pretty unlikely people. In that list we had a zealot, a former crooked tax collector, an impetuous fisherman, two brothers who were called the Sons of Thunder, and a man named Judas Iscariot. Jesus also chooses you and me. And we might think we don't have a lot to offer Jesus, that perhaps we're unlikely people for Jesus to choose to be his followers, unlikely people for Jesus to entrust the passing on of his message of love and forgiveness and hope to. Perhaps we can identify with those disciples. I'm not going to ask you, but maybe we've got some zealots amongst us, maybe even people who are formerly crooked, or impetuous, or come from an interesting family, or perhaps even have betrayed or denied Jesus. Jesus chose ordinary people, the Simons and Judes of the world, and he chooses ordinary people like you and me, and he calls us to follow him, to offer our gifts and our skills, and to keep faithfully following him in the everyday stuff of our lives to the very end of our earthly life, day by day. And that gospel reading we heard, which is a tough reading that Pam read, I think is a really good reading because it talks about being hated because Jesus is hated and following, but that we also must testify because Jesus encourages the disciples that they have to testify, they have to say what they've seen, which is obviously what Simon and Jude did, and it took them to their deaths. And hopefully it's not going to take us to our deaths, but we are called to follow and to keep testifying to what Jesus has done in our lives day by day. Their lives remind us, these disciples, that it's about God, not us. Jesus calls us with our unique personalities to follow him and do our best to remain faithful to him. And I think the things that will help us to remain faithful to Jesus all through our lives are very simple things that we know about. They're prayer and reading the Bible, really, and meeting together. Prayer, reading the Bible, and meeting together. So the Bible Sunday gets a bit of a look in there at the end. So as I close, let me just leave you with an encouragement and a challenge. The encouragement is that you are called by God. And you guys behind me as well. You're called by God. However unlikely that might seem or feel to you, God loves each of us and he calls us to be his disciples. That's the encouragement. The challenge is to go home and ponder the question, so how's it going? How is this following Jesus going, this discipleship journey? And also, what kind of things might help you as you carry that journey on day by day? What kind of things might help you? And what might the church here, the church family, be able to do to help you in your discipleship so that we can keep following, like Simon and Jude, through all the ups and downs of life, right to the end of our earthly lives? Amen.